Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your yarn and circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, us BBM Bumba Bipper Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling from that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have a say, yarn up, song your mob, all ears here. Now, Snake is a national voice for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children, and Snake is concerned about the federal government's recent announcement to roll back support for early childhood education and care, that's the ECEC services, impacted by coronavirus, COVID-19, and will have negative short and long-term impacts on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander early years services, our children and families. We're going to catch up a yarn over with the CEO of Snake, that's Richard Weston on the line. Richard, a very good morning. How are you?
G'day, Trevor. How are you going? It's good to be on with you.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, COVID-19 has turned our world upside down in many ways. And look, you're concerned about the federal government's recent announcement of the rollback support for early childhood education and care. So tell us your thoughts and reason behind your thoughts there, please, mate.
Well, with the subsidies and the emergency measures that the government put in were really important. They helped services survive and remain viable through this really tricky period. But now they're going to go back to, how things were pre-COVID, and that causes a lot of challenges for our early year services. And the reason the challenges are there is because what the government did during COVID was they waived fees, so parents didn't have to pay any fees, and so childcare was free. Yep. And they also provided additional subsidy support to services because they had to stay open. They didn't close during COVID. All of those services were required to stay open. They were considered essential services.
Yep.
And so what it's meant is that because parents have been able to access free access to the early years services, the numbers have gone up. So our kids have been going into these fantastic services where children are, they're nurtured, they're looked after, they're given access to, early literacy and numeracy skills and education. They're taught about their culture and their identity, so they're in a place that's safe, culturally safe for them.
So, Richard, what I'm picking up is that there was a high demand, a high in-call for services, and more families came to the table as such because they had more support financially. So that just shows the demand is there.
Well, that's right. That's what we've been saying to the government is that the what this shows is that our people want their children to have access to these services. And we know that generally when, pre-COVID, the access to those services is about half of what it is for non-Indigenous kids. So we don't want the government to relax, go back to the way it was. We want these services for our children because for our kids, it's not just a babysitting service.
No.
It's about kids' early development. It's about this critical time in their
lives. Well, it's an investment, isn't it, for the whole of Australia and for young Australia and for the future of Australia?
Well, it is, and particularly for our kids. It sets them up for the rest of their lives. It helps them get through the first 5 years, get them school ready, so they're school ready, they've got some literacy and numeracy skills. Any developmental issues have been identified early and dealt with, and the children are healthy, all their immunisations are up to date, so it gives them a great start in life. But because we're starting to sort of mosey on back or wander back to how it was pre-COVID,
puts us behind the eight ball, doesn't it?
It is. It's going to put these barriers up again. And parents of vulnerable children and, you know, children that are, for example, in out-of-home care, or children that have experienced trauma, or children that have other developmental issues, the access is going to be reduced for them, and they're the ones that need it most.
Mm. So with this call in, you're concerned, where do you go from here? Do you take it to Education Minister as such, or what do you do with concerns?
Trev, that's what we're doing. You know, we've written to the Minister for Education, Dan Tehan, and we've written to Ken Wyatt. And, you know, we're continually raising the issue with the Department of Education. But we've got opportunities to progress this this conversation under the new Closing the Gap Agreement, which will be signed on July 23rd, but also the SNAKE is partnering with the National Indigenous Australians Agency to roll out and develop a national Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander early childhood strategy. So that strategy will directly impact on this sector that we're talking about. So we're sort of hopeful that we can keep the dialogue going, keep highlighting that our needs are different. The needs of our children are different than non-Aboriginal kids. You know, our services are not babysitting services. They are there to support the healthy development and early education of our children, to set them up to go to school, set them up to be school ready and given the best start in life. And if we invest more in that in these early years, then we will actually close the gap. We won't have, you know, 10 years of close the gap that's failed, the last 10 years, and you know, we've got an opportunity for the next 10 years to do something meaningful and something that will achieve results. And we really do have to invest in our children, our very young children, get them healthy, get them school ready, and address any developmental issues that they have.
Well, if the government is serious about closing the gap, you know, this is not, you said the magic word, it's an investment, it's not an expense, is it?
It's not. That's right. It is an investment. I mean, the return that Australia will get, our communities will get a fantastic social return, because we'll have kids that are happy, healthy, you know, functioning well, going to school, learning and growing and developing. The broader impact on taxpayers is that it'll cost less money for managing systems like out-of-home care, which you know, chews up billions of dollars each year. Juvenile justice, we'll see drop-offs in those kind of, you know, of our kids going into those institutions. And it starts in these very early years.
Exactly.
That's where we need to invest.
But it's also a fantastic opportunity regarding investing in workers in the ECEC sector as well, doesn't it?
Look, it does. I think that's a real critical element of if we're going to continue to develop that sector. I mean, SNAKE's been having conversations with the sector every couple of weeks. Every fortnight we're holding a teleconference with services that want to tap in. But the way those people that work in that sector have responded to the COVID crisis, the way they've, maintained, stayed open, even though for the Aboriginal people working in those services are at a heightened risk because of COVID, they've stayed open, they've had to do it the hard way, they haven't had a steady supply of safety gear like sanitizers and and other material that they need. They've provided fantastic input into the Department of Education. They've been very professional, measured, advocated very strongly for the children in their communities and their community. If we could invest more money in developing that workforce and really developing and nurturing the leadership that the people that are working in these services shows, we will see some major changes around closing the gap. We will see children, you know, come starting school much healthier and ready to learn. We will see a drop-off in kids going into out-of-home care services. We will see a reduction of our young people heading into the juvenile justice system.
Yeah.
So the early years offers us, you know, as you say, an investment in the early years offers us the potential for, you know, great returns socially, in terms of behaviour and social cohesion, but also at the cost to the taxpayer.
Exactly. Richard, very important conversation there. Thank you very much for sharing. Good luck with it all. Please keep in touch, and we're fighting for our young ones. Thank you very much, my brother. All the best.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Trevor. You take care.
Bye-bye. That's Richard Weston, his name is. He's Snake CEO. Snake is the national voice for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children, and it's about investing in our children in the future and regarding employment as well in that sector, and the concern for the federal government's recent announcement of the rollback support for early childhood education and the care, that's ECEC services, impacted by coronavirus, COVID-19, that will have negative short and long-term impacts on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander early year services, our children and our families. Have you say, you might be Arnab Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black, daily number 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, taking it right up to 12 noon Queensland time. It's 11:17. I want to hear from you, mob. 1-800-422-416.
Chattle more among our family. Young may while I'll put my tongue kind. In a limor kali, oh, limorong in galon do ya to. Tisingarong either alim, Munatali lam. Kamaraman ng ngutya mamiri malam Balang niwang alil jiwar lihenam Balang niwang alil marajong liu Balang niwang alil marajong liu Balang niwang alil marajong liu Buying all in more gig when we get in a decent. Book come on now, you're on the only morning you get a pin. Hunting a thing and I'll do what you go. In more on, but my call in my life. Kissing a wrong it a lalin, Monatali lam. Kamaraman ng jama mirin malang Balang uniwang alim jiwar lindam Balang uniwang alim marajong ilil Balang uniwang alim marajong ilil Balang uniwang alim Limor wangeng mana pan mira Yol ngowalal bukmak mokam Maringa tirgali man manikai Bili kisenga rongir rali Kisenga rongir rali Munadali lam Kamaraman ng utya mamiri malam Balang uniwang alim jiwar lindam Balang uniwang alim marajong liyo Balang uniwang alim marajong liyo Balang uniwang alim
Don't smile and you look out of style with everything in view. And your clothes no longer fit you, and your shoes no longer shine. Just remember there's always somebody a little further down the line. If you think Mother Teresa spent a life just picking flowers, well, honey, you've been fooled and told untruths about a simple act of life. And there's a man on every corner getting something worse than you. Might be time to shut the window and take another point of view. When all the wheels fall off your motor car on the lower side of town, and you need a ride from the other side of your local lost and found, there ain't no use in crying, baby, it's all up to you. You can scream out loud, but baby, life's a crowd and there's a thousand more like you. If you think Mother Teresa spent her life just picking flowers, honey, you've been fooled and told untruths about a simple fact of life. There's a man on every corner, ah, but you might make that too. Might be time to shut the window and take another part of you. Out of stride with everything you do. Your family dog's been stolen, and the kids all have the flu. You can sit there in the shadows, singing all those hard luck tunes. Might be time to shut the window, take another point of view. You might be time. Shut the window to take another point of view.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call if you want to have your say. Yarn Up Strong here with the ball you own, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, live here at the First National Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS. So give us a call, have your say, Yarn Up Strong, talk about what topic you want to talk about, maybe you want to talk about black deaths in custody, and maybe you want to talk about COVID-19 and how we're travelling. Are we out of the woods yet? No, because there's no virus as such. There is light at the end of the tunnel, but we still need to adhere to the laws and rules that are in place. Maybe you want to talk about statues around this country, like here in Cairns here, exploring the Cast Pass is the heading here at the Cairns Post, statues, hazy history, and talk about having a look at Captain Cook, the big statue on Sheraton, one of the main streets here in Cairns, and been there since 1970, and love it or hate it, the iconic Captain Cook statue on Sheraton Street has been a fixture in Cairns since the 70s, as I said, 1970s. It stands about 7 metres tall. Garden gnome could be more fast than controversy. And in a letter written to the Cairns Post in 2006, builder John O'Grady accredited the statue to the work of the late New Zealand artist Chris Pidgeon in 1972. Mr. O'Grady said he worked as a bricklayer at the site of what would be the Captain Cook Motel. And that's no longer there. Captain Cook Motel has been knocked down, but the statue still stands, and they're talking about getting rid of it, a petition going on to get rid of it, but there's also a petition going around here in Cairns to keep it. One of the protesters said here in the letter to the editor, Graham from Bungalow, so the protest wants the historic Captain Cook statue pulled down, which is on private property on Sheridan Street. Well, while they are at it, if successful, perhaps they would like to move up the road to the Performing Arts Centre and demolish the those unsight statues out of the front of the building. And the statues that he's referring to are the statues in front of the new renovated Civic Centre. And they've got First Nation TOZ, that's the Gimoi Wallaburra Unity, have got statues up there. I've only been there for about close to about 10 months since the opening. And maybe they should pull them down too. Or maybe they should stay there for 20, 30 odd years, how Captain Cook stayed there. I don't know. Have your say. What's your thought about statues around this country? I'm thinking along the lines of a statue of Namajira, even Cathy Freeman, something to that effect, Neville Bonner. Have your say. Add to the conversation, Mob. Let's get this conversation up and running. Two Daily, stay tuned. BBM 98.7 FM, 1-800-422-416. Let's go to Uncle Seaman Dan, Pearly Shells. Swing those hips, you mob.
Pearly shells from the ocean, shining in the sun, covering the shore. When I see them, my heart tells me that I love you more than all those little pearly shells. For every grain of sand upon the beach, I have a kiss for you. And I have more left over for the stars that twinkle in the blue.
Yeah. Warangal di gigi warangal ni ani ke mumilang amagaba.
Two Deadly Powerful Voice there, Mitch Tambo with his version. You're the voice here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416. And live here, First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumba Brit Media, 19.7 FM. Across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. We're going to catch up with have a yarn now with the boys in blue. That's Edmonton Police, Rob Hollingsworth, PLO, and you got bodyguard there, Tony Barney as well, which we're yarning. And on the line, gentlemen, good morning. How are yous?
Yeah, good morning, Trev. Just in regards to PLO Barney, actually we've got Inspector Dalai here with me now. Yeah.
Oh, Sergeant Glenn Dalai, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Trev?
Yeah. Fantastic. And so what, did you put Tony Barney on the shelf and you jumped in, brother?
Oh, yeah, he just slipped away real quietly there, Trev.
Back door. Fantastic. Look, thank you for coming to the program. Which way yarn? Look, proudly sponsored by Pekoni, IGA, Brinsmead and Edmonton. Give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipper Media, healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Speaking of health, gentlemen, our topic today, Men's Health Week. So tell us what you got in store regarding Queensland Police and how they're helping their deadly brothers out there.
Yeah, Trev, the police have put out a proactive type thing towards men's health. Inspector Monique Ralph has certainly pushed for us to do things. But like I said, it's just Men's Health Week and we just want all the men out in our community to look after themselves and take care.
What's this I got in front of me in my hot hands, QPS conversational card instructions. It seems like some powerful, deadly questions to instigate conversations. I'm loving it.
Yeah, and everyone should be having these conversations, Trev, because it highlights some of the things we ought to be thinking about. You know, we get all caught up in our lives sometimes, and, you know, looking at it, some of these things, you know, describe the kindest thing you've seen someone do. They're probably things we don't think of every day, you know, so it's nice just to stop and have a think about these things.
Exactly, and if you look at some simple questions like what made you laugh today, what opportunity are you grateful for, what are you proud of? I mean, they're not a yes or no answer. They're open conversations, aren't they?
They are, yeah, and I've seen people with these questions on their fridge, so before they walk out the door every day, they're reminding themselves what they should be grateful for.
And like I said, men, especially, here we are, brothers, having a chat. We don't talk a lot, so to speak. Eh? We it's a macho thing, or look, I got this, I can tackle this. But men having conversation is very important. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. I think us men need to maybe open up a bit more.
Yes.
You know, we certainly enjoy conversations, men, and especially when we were young fellas, we were like the footy team setting and all that type of stuff. But as men get older, we get different responsibilities, and we very rare do we make conversations and conversations.
I always look at it. You know, we always service our car. You know, we 10,000 k's comes up, and then we go to the mechanic and we get our oils dropped and you know, change the filters, and we're absolutely terrible at doing that for ourselves. You know, and
a good analogy there, Senior Sergeant.
Yeah, so, you know, if we can think a little bit like that, you know, I mean, I can talk personally for myself. I'm in at the doctors at least every year, go in for my, you know, 45,000-kilometre service, 46,000-kilometre service.
Sure.
As the years tick by, and not because I'm ill or sick, it's just...
You might be pregnant and you need to check on that, Senior Sergeant.
That's it. So something's going to be picked up. It's going to be picked up in those health checks, you know, and... you know, we all should be doing those sorts of things, and as we get older, as in your younger audience, should be looking after themselves and not putting their body through too much punishment.
Yes,
Trev, Trev, I just want to ask you something. What's the best piece of advice that mother and father gave you?
Well, my dad always told me that, don't ever forget you're carrying my name. And that stuck with me. So that's why Murray never ever mucked up, never been in trouble with the police, carrying dad's name. And like I said, I wasn't scared of any man or woman in the blue uniform. I was scared of a little Aboriginal bloke live at Lake Placid here, just 20 minutes drive from Bummer Bipper, brother. So that's good advice. But holding, loving that person in the mirror was the other thing, you know?
Yeah. But you see those type of questions that, you know, sometimes us men like to be asked, or, you know, we'd like to question ourselves at certain times.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And looking at the Men's Health Week, they've got a phrase here, and I'll just read that out, but it says, men cry, men get anxiety, men have emotions, men feel insecure, men get anxious, men get bullied, men have suicidal thoughts. Let's support men. You are not alone. And that's the message we're putting across the airways here, aren't we, brothers?
Yeah, absolutely. Very important one too. Our suicide rate isn't something to be proud of, you know.
And, exactly.
And part of that is because we don't talk and we don't reach out for help, you know, and we should be doing that more often.
You feel that there's a lot of pressure on men in regarding the so-called breadwinner, you know. I mean, this day and age, both parties, both men and women, are working to pay the rent and, you know, pay the mortgage, whatever the case may be. But do you feel that men take on board the responsibility more than they should?
We do, and I think as, you know, as things have changed around the world, and
exactly.
Certainly in the last 20 years, there's a lot of men that probably feel that they've lost their identity as well, you know. So, you know, and this is just about talking about these things and getting out and coming up with solutions.
Mm. Men asking for help, Trev.
Exactly.
A lot of our guys out there feel that it's a weakness if we ask for help, you know.
Well, always the description I give there for help and support, if you ever see a turtle sitting on a pole, always remember the turtle never got there by itself. So everybody on planet Earth, we all do have help in our success in life, you know. There's always someone or team or organisation, an uncle or cousin that can help you and support you. And you've got to be open-minded for that help, don't you?
Yeah,
definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah, and like I've seen Robbie with his work that he does down at the men's shed there.
Yes.
You know, some problems that men probably suffer are unique to men, and you know, the guys there really gel together, and you know, they're a close group.
Yes.
Once they get together and have common ground, you know, to talk on.
Yeah, I make you a point that when you say common ground, it's like it's not like them against the world and whatever dramas they're going through in life. Everybody else goes through the same drama, so it's okay, is what we're saying.
And men might need to talk with men as well, Trev.
Yes.
About a man situation or a man.
Man's point of view.
That's right, and it's just good to hear that advice too, coming from another man at times. But.
Very powerful.
Help anywhere, guys.
So these cards, that QPS conversational card instructions, you sort of handed them out, are they? Are you in regard to, Rob, you have men's groups, Senior Sergeant mentioned there, so this is a good tool that you can use in regard to these cards for conversations to start, yep?
Yeah, like I said earlier, it was created by Inspector Monic Ralph, and, you know, so it shows a good proactive approach. I believe the police are taking, so
good.
Yeah, hopefully we can take these cards out and hand them around and see what it might encourage some men to start talking.
Yep, and if I can give my other little line a plug here, Trev, the other one is areyoubogged.mate.com. Now that's a site for rural men's mental health.
Okay.
So,
then in that situation, sometimes you're bogged. You probably need a hand, someone to tow you out, or someone go and get some pieces of timber, log, whatever, to help you get out of the mud. That's a good question, and that's a question for life in regard to bogged with life, bogged down with situation. Yep.
Yeah, and it's something that people can identify with because you can be bogged and you need a helping hand. So there is a website, areyoubogged.mate.com, and you know, I encourage your listeners to have a look at it because there's links there to help, like your Beyond Blue and Black Dog Institute. So, you know, and just male stories of
sure.
The difficulties people experience in the remote areas of Australia.
Well, I didn't know about that site, so thank you very much for sharing. I mean, areyoubogged.mate.com.au. Check it out, you mob. I'm too busy catching sunbus at the moment, so no dramas of me getting bogged, but that is a good question, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Beautiful. Well, thank you.
People do. Yeah, just don't come at a freeze in your life. You got to keep moving and look for help.
Yes. Well, exactly, you know, and it's, well, it's, if it don't kill you, it makes you stronger, you know, in that sense, you know. So there is light at the end of the tunnel, and whatever situation you're in at the moment, I always say there's always someone in a worse situation. So if you fall down, fall on your back, if you can look up, you can get up.
Yeah, and mate, my advice to my children always is we live for our memories, you know, and you might be going through a rough patch today.
Yes.
But there's better memories coming in the future, and, you know, that's why we put one foot in front of the other.
Powerful words. Gentlemen, thank you so very much. All the best, Edmonton Police, and big shout-out to the team out there, okay?
Thanks, Trev.
Thanks, Trevor.
Thanks, guys. Beautiful yarn there, which way yarning. That's with Police Liaison Officer Cousin Rob Hollingsworth, and also Senior Sergeant Detective, and that's Glenn Delay. And the topic there was about yarning about Men's Health Week, and the Queensland Police have put out cards just the conversation starts. And I'll read some of the questions there on some of these deadly cards here. What's a new technology you have learned to use in order to communicate and connect during COVID-19? What has been something good that has happened to you in the past year? Name three things that have made you happy in the past year. Do you keep in contact with anyone you went through the academy with? That sort of question. So it just keeps people thinking. It's a conversation started and about protecting our deadly brothers out there. And men do need help. Reach out and there's a help for you. So too deadly. Have you say yarn up strong here. Maybe you can start here by having a yarn here with Trinity Trev on National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. And I'm live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. A big shout out to those guys as well. And it's 11:44 in sunny North Queensland, so about 16 minutes ago. Have you say, mob, yarn up strong.
School is over, running feet, marble bags through coral streets, statue place under BB tree, happy sounds of the pickaninnies, and we're on our way today. Play under Mabel Bob's tree. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You blood, try and beat me one more time. Don't ever step off by healing lime. You plus make me what to drop. Man to Molokor, smash you lot. And we're on our way today, and we're here to play under Mabel Bob's tree. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Sitting under the mecca tree, small pickaninny high above me. What do you see under Mabel Bob's tree? Run away to
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know at BBM, Bummer Brippin Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. All right, too deadly. We're going to catch up now with Grant Rutherford. He's the co-founder of Snowdon Foundation. Clinical trials to give blood cancer patients hope as one of the topics. A bit of background regarding his daughter Chloe with us in spirit. On the line, a very good morning, Grant. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm very well.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. You're based down in Melbourne, is that right?
I'm based down in sunny Melbourne, yes.
Sunny Melbourne. Chuck that out on the table. Don't lie to us. We've got sunshine up here in far north Queensland.
Oh,
warm sunshine.
Very cold, yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you for coming to the program. Give us a bit of background version regarding you being a co-founder of Snowdon Foundation. What is Snowdon, Foundation and how did it come about? And also mention your beautiful daughter, Chloe, with us in spirit.
Well, the Snowdon Foundation came about in 2010 on the passing of my daughter, my beautiful daughter Chloe. She was only aged nine. She died of leukemia, basically, or complications arising from blood cancer, leukemia. So when a friend, a very close family friend, Professor Miles Prince, he's a hematologist, he's probably arguably the best hematologist in the country, when he suggested the foundation's name, my brain said no and my mouth said yes. And the reason why it's called the Snowdon Foundation is that through her cancer journey, she saw what she thought she saw was a mistaken identity, was a gift shop in the nurse's quarters in one of the surgeries, and she's going in for an operation. And in that nurse's quarters, she saw all these snowdones adorning the walls. And they'd come from around the world, from different people, giving thanks to the nurses at the Royal Children's. And she said, as she was going under, she said, "Oh, Dad, I really want one of those snowdones from that gift shop."
Yeah.
And of which we all chuckled. And anyway, of course she got what she wanted. She always got what she wanted. She's such a beautiful girl. Her collection grew from one of the nurses to over 50, 60 snowdones by the end of her cancer journey. And it was just a wonderful reminder and a terrible reminder of her journey through that cancer journey.
Yes.
But nevertheless, it was really poignant in calling the foundation after her love of snowdones.
Well, virtually, how strong is her spirit? And regarding Snowdome, and there we have now Snowdome Foundation, like I said, she's with us in spirit. But the fight and support for people with leukemia is stronger.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny, you know, I talk about this and I talk about, you know, Chloe every once in a while, and it's very important to talk about it, that, you know, she was a very special girl and she touched a lot of people while she was alive, you know, when she was sick and when she was healthy. And I mean, the number of people that she's helping now that now she's passed away in spirit is absolutely incredible. And I know she'll be looking down, you know, sometimes wondering what all the fuss is about, but I know she'll be sort of silently proud that, you know, what she's doing, she's helping people. I think she might be even laughing at me sometimes for the things I do.
Dad, what are you doing?
What are you doing, Dad?
Exactly. Now, you're talking about clinic trials give blood cancer patients hope. Let's go into that conversation, please, Grant.
Yeah, well, you know, clinical trials do give blood cancer patients more hope. I think when you think back 10 years ago, there might have been clinical trials. Chloe went through chemotherapy, and that literally, because that destroys your immune system, you're more susceptible to infection. So there's probably 20 things inside your own body right now that could kill you. And any, you know, other diseases around you might, you know, could be harmful to you as well. So she was always kind of under the microscope. We always had to keep her kind of, you know, wrapped in cotton wool. But today, you know, we have a thing called genomic testing. And unfortunately, less than about a third of cancer patients have access to this genomic testing. And what that testing does provides, you know, crucial insights into treatments. So, look, it's a science beyond my understanding, but, you know, it basically genomic testing and testing your blood gives you a better, you know, it just gives you
a better diagnosis?
Yeah, faster. Better diagnostics. It informs, you know, treatment plans, you know, for blood cancer patients, you know, whether you should have chemotherapy or whether you should go straight to a clinical trial. So sometimes it's helping them avoid chemotherapy, sure, which is a wonderful thing. It's like a real leg up in the blood cancer battle.
Sure. Well, not all patients work well with chemotherapy, yes?
No, not all patients. Not all patients do, I think. Yeah, some do and some don't. It's just one of those unfortunate. It's an amazing treatment, but it's actually unfortunate that the fact is that you know you might respond, you might not respond, and unfortunately, you know, with Chloe dying of pneumonia, that complication, you know, getting pneumonia and not being able to recover, you know, she died of something else, and if we can avoid that, if we can avoid chemotherapy, I think it's a good thing. And if we can do that in the future, you know, 10 years down the track or however long, 5 years, 2 years, that would be a wonderful thing if everybody could have personalised treatments and a treatment plan to suit their cancer.
Fantastic. Now, regarding donations, monetary, which is very important to donating blood, how can listeners help?
Well, it's funny because, you know, blood donations are critical for blood cancer patients. You know, with, you know, probably about a third of red cells donated actually being used to help people with blood cancer diseases, So, you know, come this beautiful World Blood Cancer Day, you know, I mean, we're very grateful at Snowdon for the blood that people have given for blood cancer patients. And, you know, sometimes people can't give blood for different reasons, and sometimes people say no to needles or nope to needles, where, you know, I don't really feel comfortable giving blood. So I think the next best thing to do is donate to blood cancer research that we're doing. This real-time research is helping people. And so, you know, all I'm asking is that, you know, consider donating to Snowdon, because that's giving people longer, better lives, more hope that they can actually beat their cancer.
Fantastic. And how do people get in touch with our Snowdon Foundation?
It's very, very simple. So they just need to go to our website, snowdon.org.au, and go on and have a look. You'll see Chloe's story, you'll see exactly what we do, and you can donate there. And the great thing is, you know, it's not a big research black hole. You can actually see the things that we're contributing to, the people that we support and all the clinical trials that we support. So if you want a deeper dive, go in and have a look. But, yeah, the best way is just to go and donate, and we will put the money in the right place.
Exactly. Beautiful. Look, a lovely conversation, and thank you very much for sharing, Grant. And look, Chloe's looking down, smiling upon us, and fantastic, and the movement is strong thanks to her vision in Snowdon. Thank you very much, Grant. All the best to you and your family. We're still living with COVID-19. Stay safe, my friend, and look, we'll be in touch, eh?
Thank you, Trevor. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk.
Take care, Grant. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
A deadly yarn there with Grant Rutherford, his name is. He's the co-founder of Snowdon Foundation. So check out snowdon.org.au and see what you can do in regarding donation. But clinical trials give blood cancer patients hope. So that's what it's all about. With lovely people out there, unfortunately, who pick up the cancer in regards to leukemia. And there is hope at the end, light in the end of the tunnel is what I'm saying. So have you say your mob yarn up strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with Baldy on Trevor Tim, 20 Trevor Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. 1-800-422-416, that's the number. Give me a call. Let's have a yarn. Too deadly.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Jared Harbrow, thank you very much, my brother. Hope you're well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, and Murray going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company, mob. I'm back in the hot seat again tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. 24/7, you can text the lad, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, 987FM, and that's another way of communicating with us. But our voices are strong in regard to National Talk Black, and we yarn about all our deadly topics that concern us mob as the First Nation people. people of this country in all facets, in employment and health and education, and ways we have our yarns are very important. My brother and sisters, look, take care, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and we'll be yarning soon. And we've got the news coming up here very soon. And actually, I've got a caller coming through. We're going to catch up a yarn with the caller before we go. Hello there.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good. Who's this?
It's Marianne McKay from Yolngu Country.
Marianne McKay, how are you, my sis?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Yeah, good, good, good. You had a couple of minutes there, sis. What's your yarn about?
I just want to just shout out, you know, to some of our young ones. We had our Black Lives Matter rally on Saturday in Perth here.
Yep.
And it was just the biggest gathering we've ever had, you know. And I just wanted to give a shout-out to Anisha Bunnell and Steph Maguire and Jacinta Taylor-Foster and Derek Nanup Jr. and just let our young ones know, you know, they did us very proud on the weekend. They organised, you know, a beautiful gathering with powerful speakers, the dancing. You know, we had an opening from Uncle Ben Taylor, one of our oldest elders, and then Uncle Wally Maguire did the welcome. And it was just beautiful, you know, really powerful and a beautiful, energetic day.
Nothing stronger when mob get together, right, sister?
Oh, my God, yes. And I'm just so proud of these young ones because we were able to get up a different, you know, a whole range of speakers, and we had so many non-Aboriginal supporters there that we were able to share our message of deaths in custody and police brutality and the changes that need to be made right across the country, not just on Yolngu country, you know?
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to the mob out there. Thank you, Marianne.
Yep, no worries. You have a good one.
Take care, sis. Too deadly, beautiful yarn, and that's the example of National Talk Black and the voice for our people. Too deadly, mob, stay tuned.
A real fellow.